Oh, hello, everybody, you jumper maniacs. Today we've got Aaron Weiserman from Smarter Male, and he is going to be sharing with us 7 mistakes you're making with your email marketing, which is going to be pretty interesting. It's some really good stuff. And a little bit about Aaron. He is the digital marketer. He's a digital marketer, basically, and he helps emails for SMS on the SaaS platform, which is, I guess you would say that Smarter Mail is kind of, getting more personalized emails with helping growing the sales. So, and Aaron will kind of go through that a little bit, but it's personalized email marketing, basically, which is really big on that. He resides in Melbourne, Australia, where he's telling me it's a little bit cold down there, so it's opposite of where we're at here in LA. So it's there. He also heads up and runs the paid advertising and lead gen for Smarter Mail. He handles outbound and inbound sales. Also, is killing it with some of his content articles that he's written on that, which is, you've got a lot of hats. But really, what I really want to know about is the pancake parlor, dude. Like that looked pretty good when I checked out that site and stuff. So, Aaron, welcome, and fill in anything that I left out.
No, that's definitely an impressive list you've given off there. Yeah, I didn't realize I wear so many hats, but yeah, no, pancake parlor, very good place to have a, if you're a customer. Working in the kitchen, not so much, to be honest, but I'm definitely a lot happier where I am now.
Right. So now you're, how did you get into the digital marketing side of things? Was it just you, are you were always doing marketing and kind of just fell into this role on the email side of things?
Yeah, I mean, I studied marketing in uni, and yeah, I kind of just fell into digital marketing. Obviously, as you know, that's been growing quite a lot, so it's a lot of opportunities, and taking advantage of not just email, but other digital, like SEO, is critical now. So yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah. So let's do this. Let's dive into the 7 mistakes you're making with your email marketing, and we'll go through all these different 7 steps for the us, and then we'll sort of hit up some questions from there and see where that takes us.
Yeah, sounds good.
Cool. Awesome.
Yeah, cool. So first, I mean, what we quite Smarter Mail is for e-commerce businesses. So, we help mainly Shopify, WooCommerce, BigCommerce, and our goal is to get merchants more results for their email marketing. So when new stores sign up with Smarter Mail, we quite often see, a lot of opportunities they're missing. So, not necessarily mistakes. Some of them certainly are mistakes, but certainly a lot of things that they could be doing a lot better. And one of the biggest things we see is stores not automating their emails. So they'll send, bulk newsletters, but they'll spend, a good 2, 3 hours sending the one email campaign, which just takes a lot of their time. And, when you can do it automatically and set up, email flows that will send to the right customer at the right time, not only does it save a lot of time for them, but it gets a lot more results, these targeted emails.
Right. Yeah. I'm surprised people still send messages one by one. That's amazing. There's still people doing that.
And I suppose that kind of ties into the next one. It's not, they have to send the email to their entire list. So there's no segmentation of the list. And, especially as you grow your e-com business, you're going to get, different types of customers with different needs. And, you just can't be sending the one email to the same email to everyone on your list. So, you've got the big ones like demographics, like male, female, age. If you've got a clothing apparel brand, you don't want to be sending women's fashion to your male subscribers, for instance. But yeah, segmentation is another thing a lot of email marketers, not just in e-commerce, but, you know, they could be doing a lot better.
Right.
And, you know, again, it's all about sending the right email to the right customer at the right time.
Sure.
And, you know, to do that, you really need to be segmenting your email list.
Right. So, like, in the terms of the segmenting the list, by, say, you, I know that you can do it and put tags for, say, you know, bathing suits and versus socks and things like that. You know, how do you get the demographics of age and female and male from your shopping type of platform? Or is it more that you guys can segment it based on the users coming in? Like, how's the best way that, say, an e-commerce brand would do it?
Yeah, so some of them, like, you can, like, infer from the purchase they're making. So obviously, right, if someone's buying a lot of women's clothes, you can infer that, you know, they want to see more content in the emails about, right, you know, that kind of clothing. If you're not, like, sometimes gender or some demographics just won't make sense. Right. It all depends on what you're selling. You can, when people sign up to your email list, you can just ask the question. And a lot of people will just answer. Some will leave it blank. But the people who do answer you, you definitely know in that case. The other thing you have to be careful of is when people will purchase as a gift. So I might, you know, want to buy a scarf, a woman's scarf for, you know, one of my friends. And obviously I don't want to be targeted, you know, with women's clothing after that.
Right.
So Amazon does, for instance, which, you know, Amazon's really the king of email marketing, is, you know, they will, in their checkout, will give you the option of, you know, is this a gift to purchase? And that way you can rule out those possibilities.
I never thought about that. That's an interesting way to segment.
Yeah. And then, you know, even based on that, if people are purchasing for a gift for a birthday, you can then retarget a year later, say, you know,
you've
got that opportunity as well.
Right. Yeah, that's a good takeaway there, because, yeah, if they say it's a gift for a birthday and it's a boy and it's like whatever, they're buying a 10-year-old gift and, you know, next year's going to be 11, you might want to retarget them with some hot new 11-year-old toys or whatever.
Exactly. That might.
Yeah, that's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
That's pretty powerful.
Yeah. And then, you know, obviously there's a lot of the different advanced segments. You can really, you know, age, gender, two of the big easy ones, really.
Right.
You can start developing so many. You can take a really deep dive
and get
really advanced. It depends how many customers you have and how advanced you really want to go.
Right. So, like, if you're, like, just start, like, if you want to just, like, dip your toes in the segmentation, what would you say the top three things you would want to try and do in a segmentation?
What you definitely want, one of the main segmentation rules you definitely want to use is to differentiate first-time customers, people who never purchase. So, you know, we know in marketing that it's much easier to sell to someone who has already purchased from your store as it is to get someone to make that initial purchase.
Mm-hmm.
So once you know someone's a customer, you can start targeting them and you're going to start to see a much greater return on investment with particular customers. And then you can, if they've made 2-3 purchases, you can you know that they are a lot more profitable. So you know that you'll be able to, you know, nurture and, you know, keep marketing towards.
Yeah. And I guess building those custom audiences for Facebook or anything like that, and the people who buy 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, and then try and build lookalike audiences of those types of people, I would assume.
Yeah. I mean, like, Smart Mail lets you automatically sync your email list to Facebook customer audiences. But really, whatever email platform you're using, you just import a CSV and upload that to Facebook ads.
Right. That's awesome. Yeah. That makes it a lot easier when you can all in one and tie in your ad campaigns with your email marketing platform. So that's awesome.
Yeah. Definitely get your better return on investment on Facebook ads as well, which is nice.
Yeah, for sure. You want to get for every dollar, you want to get two back, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Cool. What else do we have on that list?
Another, like, what you'll often see is people who have been engaging with your emails. You know, they'll open your emails, make some purchases, but, you know, 5-6 months down the track, you know, they're not engaging. They've kind of fallen off. So one of the most powerful emails you can automate is the win-back campaign. So you get a segment of people who are, you know, at risk of slipping away.
Right.
So people who haven't made a purchase, you know, in however many months or days, or depends on your business, obviously, but
right.
And what you're selling. But you want to try to win them back.
Right. Before they go. Yeah. So the thing is that if you know on average, you're getting a repeat buyer every 30 days, right? Yeah. You would want to send something. If somebody goes 31st day, you're going to want to send them something. Or if they maybe haven't moved on the 29th day, you might send them some sort of offer to that, right? So you have two sort of different segments.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it completely depends on, you know, your average time between your orders, but
right,
once it starts to move up beyond that average, you kind of want to get them back into your store.
Right.
And, you know, you can do that with an email offer, you know, coupon. Usually with your win back campaigns, you want to automate like 2 or 3 different emails. So okay. If one, you usually want to hold off on having an offer.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the first one will get people back without an offer. Right. But if that doesn't work, you definitely want to be including a coupon code or
right.
Trying to up your efforts.
Right. What are you seeing work very well for those types of things, those win back campaigns?
One of the biggest hurdles in e-commerce is shipping costs.
Mm.
So we definitely recommend, you know, if you can, just offer free shipping all the time to the store. Some stores, that's just not feasible. So in that case, a free shipping offer does wonders, you know,
really?
Beyond your 10% coupon. If you're already offering free shipping, obviously then just, you know, a decent coupon amount discount
right.
will do the right. same job.
Do you find dollar discounts work better or percentages?
I mean, we haven't actually looked at that. That's a very interesting question. I wish I could give you an answer, but I'd have to have a look at the data on that.
I just thought that, you know, sometimes people just can't calculate what 10% off is, but they know what $10 off is.
Yeah.
So that's just my theory, that I think percentages off, unless it's 50% off, they understand that, but sometimes.
Can be
like 25%. Yeah. Let's see, what is that off of $100? Is that $30? You know, so I sometimes calculating things. Anyway, I was just curious.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Yeah, so those are definitely the big segments you can run. Another big one is to segment by order value. So especially if you've got a range of different products and you've got some higher price ones, if you know that a customer is more profitable and they are purchasing those higher priced items, you know, it makes more sense to try to nurture those leads as well and make sure they don't drop off. So segmenting by average order value or how many sales, you know,
right.
Very powerful.
Okay. That makes total sense. Yeah. On that, because the higher spenders, right, I think is where you kind of want to like reach out to and bring those people back in, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, there's the old adage in marketing that 80% of your revenue is generated by 20% of your customers.
Right.
You
exactly.
You have to be in that 20%.
Right. Right. Yes. You definitely want to nurture that 20% for sure. For sure. What about, like, in terms of subscribers, right? So I know that you know, you have it as one of your things where it's never too late to start out with, right? So you know, 10 subscribers, 20, 100,000, 200,000. I mean, do you wait or do you just kind of, you know, there's never a time to, there's never not a good time to message your list?
No. So quite often we'll see people wait until they get like 100 or 1,000 subscribers. But, right, you know, the very first people on your list, especially when you're starting out, they are the people who are probably most interested in what you're selling. Mm-hmm. So, you know, once, you know, if your business makes it and you are starting to, you know, get 10,000, 15,000 subscribers, your business is obviously at a much later stage in growth. Mm-hmm. And at that stage, it's relatively easy to grow your email list. Right. Those early days where people will only really sign up if they are genuinely interested. And right, if you're not emailing them from the get-go, you risk them just, you know, dropping off and losing that interest. So right, it's kind of like you want to strike while the iron is hot.
Right.
And you want to nurture them as well. Right. And you don't want to wait, you know, 2-3 months and then, right, you know, send them an email and they'd be like, you know, what is this? I completely forgot about this store. You know,
right,
don't remember signing up to this. I'm going to report it as spam in the worst case. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so there's definitely, you know, you can't start too early with email marketing.
Right. What do you find in terms of, you know, you have a list, you haven't talked to them in months, you know, I mean months. And do you purge that list? Do you send out some sort of win back email to get them at, you know, on the list, and the people who don't respond, you kind of just kill them and just get rid of them? Or do you try and send it to a list again? And, you know, what's your advice on that?
Yeah. So, you know, if you had a few months since you've last emailed your list, it's probably a, you know, come up with a somewhat of a win back campaign, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then see who responds and who opens your emails. And then from there, you can start to cull your list down. Definitely right, want to start again, obviously. Like right, you build an email list, you want to keep that and you want to try to have as many people on that list as you can.
Right.
Obviously, if they're not engaging, then you cut them. But
right,
I definitely send at least 2-3 emails before you make that call.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's kind of curious on that, because I know some people have large lists, like 10,000 email addresses, 20, and they're like, oh yeah, these are good. But you have, I said, but you haven't mailed them in like 6 months. How are they going to remember?
You know, it's unique. Yeah. I mean, I suppose that's another thing you just need to keep on top of, and, you know, don't let your email list go dormant for that long.
Right. Right.
Which comes probably to automation and making sure you're not manually sending every email.
Yeah, right. I mean, and then when you're sending these lists, it doesn't always have to be a sales email, right? I mean, some sort of content, some sort of things that are going on in the news. I mean, right? I mean, it's just, you don't want to constantly hit them up with sale emails.
Yeah. No, especially based on what kind of brand you are, you definitely want to foster, you know, a relationship between your brand and your customer. Mm. You definitely just don't want to be spamming them all the time with sales discounts. Yeah.
Because I think when you start doing that, you train your audience just like a dog. Train them to know that they're not going to be. I worked for the marketing side for a company here in the U.S. It was called Design Within Reach, and they were a high-end retailer. I mean, sofas that are going for 3,000, 4,000, you know, chairs, EAM chairs, all this kind of designer stuff, right? And they would do these big sales, right? They would do these big sales, and they would wait. They're like, the customers knew that they would have this August sale, and they would just wait. And the first day was like, you know, everybody ordering, right? So you saw this tremendous number. And then throughout the thing, there wasn't too much of a sale. And then towards the end of that, the sale, they did another one and had this huge pop. But they sort of trained them, because every day they were doing some sort of sale thing rather than giving content. And that's what my lesson was on that whole thing. And you know, you try to deal with the marketing department, I'm like, just why you sell things all the time? And they took forever designing these making these emails to look beautiful and perfect. I'm like, just get it out the door, right? I mean, text works perfectly fine, you know, I think over images now because that thing. So anyway, that was sort of a side story.
But. Yeah, no, you definitely don't want to train your audience.
Right.
Never to purchase at full price.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So another one is abandonment card emails. What's your feeling on those?
Yeah. So, I mean, any e-commerce store owner will know that abandoned cards are one of the banes of their existence. So I think the card abandonment rate's about average globally is about 67%. Okay. So that kind of means that for every customer who makes a purchase from your store, there are two would-be customers who are placing items in their carts and just never checking out.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a big pie that you can be getting a slice of. And when abandoned card emails are very effective.
And they are.
I'm getting loads of people to come back and complete their checkout. And
really?
Yeah, they are very effective. And so many stores are just not automating them. And again, they are completely automated. So you don't have, once you set them up, you don't have to do anything else. Right. You know, someone has abandoned their cart, they will go into that flow and they will receive the email, you know, 12 hours, 24 hours after they've abandoned the cart. Right. And, you know, a fair decent chunk of them will come back and make the purchase.
Sure. So let me ask you a couple things on those abandonment cart. One is, how often do you send it and time delay from the first to the last one? And then what types of discounts or offers do you put in there if you do any?
Yeah. So you definitely want to be sending more than just one abandonment cart.
Right.
Quite often people will just have simply forgotten about their purchase. Mm-hmm. So be on the bus on the way home from work and they'll be on their phone and they'll put an item in their cart. Then they get off the bus and they've just completely forgotten about it. So your first email is you want a simple reminder, like, hey, you've left these items in your cart. Do you want to complete the transaction?
Mm-hmm.
Usually we advise on holding off on any kind of discounts. So, I mean, and that's just because the first email will convert people who simply just forgot. And we give away any margin for those kind of customers.
Mm-hmm.
You could try saying that, you know, we can only hold your items for the next 24 hours.
Right.
Like have some kind of time sensitivity in it. And that can help just push up the number of conversions.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if that email doesn't work, then you kind of want to be in your second, third emails later on. That's when you start to include offers. And once again, like we know the biggest reason people abandon carts beyond just forgetting about them is that when they get to checkout, you know, they've put something in there that's, you know, $10 and they see that shipping is another $10 and they go, you know, it's $20. I don't want to buy this. So comes back to offering that free shipping. So, you know, again, I strongly advise, you know, you offer free shipping all the time if you can.
Right.
But if you don't, a free shipping offer, you know, in your second abandoned cart email does wonders. And that'll see a lot of people coming back. If you do offer free shipping, obviously, then a discount code can make sense. But even if the second one doesn't get people back and checking out their cart, you know, one way you up the offer, you know, one last time can have a very positive effect.
Okay. So about three emails basically is what we're talking about. Right. Okay, cool.
And you want to send the first one, you know, between 4 and 12 hours after someone's abandoned the cart, just in case, you know, genuinely forgot about it and you want to, you know, again, strike while the iron's hot. And then you might wait another day between the next two emails.
Okay. So 4 to 12 hours basically is the first one that will go out, and then day one and two and things like that. Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's good. Open rates are pretty good on abandonment cart emails. get pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, open rates on abandoned cart emails are above what you typically get for email newsletter. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they are something you definitely want to be sending. It'd be right. a mistake to send them.
Okay. Like, what would you say, like, the average you've seen, you know, open abandonment cart emails?
It can vary wildly between different stores. And, yeah.
Depending on how hot that brand is and how that they really
want. I mean, we've seen rates as high as like 60% open rates, which is
wow.
Pretty decent when an average open rate is about 20%.
Right.
But you kind of expect at least 30, 40, even possibly 50% as an average.
Right. Do you put images and product like what they thought, or is it more text, or like what do you find works best?
What one thing we include in our abandoned cart emails and works really well is at the bottom of them is including product recommendations. Mm. So you might also like these products.
I see.
Based on what people have actually abandoned in their cart. So that way, you know, it does convert someone. They might end up even adding more items to their cart and increasing the order value.
Okay. Yeah, that's one of those things that product recommendations that you talk about. I guess we can talk about that one. We'll go in that and go through two different things. But like product recommendations, right? So is that just sort of within your platform allows the seller to be able to recommend products if this with that kind of thing, or like how does that product recommendation work? I guess not so much detail on that, but like what would you recommend, like when you're recommending products in there, right? So is it lower? So if the price of the product that you're looking to buy was $25, would you recommend a product that's $10, or would you recommend something more expensive?
In terms, I'm not entirely sure about price. Our recommendations are automatic. Okay. So what we'll do is we'll analyze, you know, people who have purchased, you know, a particular item and see what other people have purchased who have also bought that particular item.
I see.
And then see what kind of matchups and then recommend products based on that.
Okay. So pretty much Amazon, like.
Yeah, Amazon, like. If you want to, you can segment your list and set up automated flows, you know, like cross sell. So if you know, like you know yourself, like you know your e-commerce business quite well, obviously. And if you know that if person A, you know, buys product A, they will also usually like product B, you can even, it's a bit of, you'd have to set it up yourself, but you can definitely, you know, create an email flow that will then recommend product B to the person. But no, product recommendation emails you can set up automatically, and all the recommendations are handled our end using machine learning. And that's just, it's like abandoned cart emails. It's set and forget. Once you set it up, you don't have to worry about it, and they just bring in more sales automatically.
Interesting. So when you're doing product recommendation kinds of emails, I mean, do they go out after winbacks? Do they go after, like, how often do you send out a product recommendation email?
Yeah, so you definitely want to be sending them out on a regular basis, like maybe every 2 weeks, maybe every week. Obviously not every day. That's just going
to
ban people's inboxes, but it's definitely, they are very effective emails for e-commerce, so it's something you want to be sending on a regular basis.
Right. And in these emails that you're sending, like, is there a lot of text about it? Or is it just like, hey, here's something you might be interested in? You know, a lot of our customers are just digging these yoga pants or whatever that is. I mean, is that kind of like just really short, brief copy on them to make it work well?
Yeah. I mean, you definitely, you know, you don't want to be overloading your subscribers with too much information. So, definitely include an image of the product, a short description, and usually that's enough just to get them, you know, to the door and checking out the product.
Right. And what about product? Do you do multi-products or single product? You know, do you want to keep the focus of the user, like just to click this thing, or do you put two or three things in there?
When it comes to product recommendation emails, you definitely want to, you know, include, you know, half a dozen products, I'd say. Just because, you know, there's a chance, you know, no one product the person is going to like. So it might, you want a few different products in there just to ensure that at least one or two of them, you know, trigger someone's interest and get them. Or if you just include one, there's a chance that, you know, it's not relevant for that person and, you know, they're just not going to head to your store.
Right. Oh, interesting. Yeah. I never thought about product recommendation emails, but that's a pretty good one. So what if you have a small list? You know, do you want to purchase subscribers? I mean, or is you just like do the old fashioned way and go out and try and get them yourself?
I suppose, you know, the one of the biggest mistakes you can make with email marketing is buying subscribers. Like everything else we've talked about so far is kind of, you know, things you could be doing. Buying subscribers is something you definitely do not want to do under any circumstances. You know, not only is it illegal, but it will just destroy your deliverability. So, you know, when it comes to email marketing, one of the big challenges is getting your emails in the inbox. It was spam folders, and for e-commerce, that's a particular challenge. And what inbox service providers like Gmail are looking for is whether people are engaging with your emails. Definitely, you don't want people marking them as spam. So if you you're buying subscribers, you know, chances are very high that they're just not going to be interested in your product, what you're emailing. So they're not going to interact with your emails at all. Very high risk they're kind of reported as spam, which means that people would be interested in what you're selling and what you're emailing. They won't see your emails because they'll be going to their spam folders. And there's a lot of people don't know about this, but there are what are called spam traps. So Gmail and Outlook and other inbox service providers will create fake email addresses. And they often send them out to these platforms where you can buy subscribers. And the moment you send to one of these email addresses, they know instantly that you've purchased it or you've obtained the address, you know, dishonorably. And that is, you know, you'll just be flagged immediately as a spammer. And once, as soon as that happens, it's very hard to get your reputation back. So you pretty much have to start from scratch again. So it's definitely something you do not want to be doing.
Take that away. With that, you know, now that with like Gmail has all the different boxes and, you know, trying to get into the inbox and all that kind of stuff, you know, are people giving up on emails? I mean, in terms of like selling, or is it still work, or is just the myth that people say, oh, it's dead, you know, it's all over with kind of stuff, and you're not making sales with them?
No, email is definitely not dead. Email marketing is definitely one of the most profitable digital channels you can have, especially for e-commerce. And, you know, if it would be a mistake definitely to give up. Massive return on investment for anyone who does, you know, at least put a little bit of effort into the email marketing.
So,
I mean, like getting an inbox, if you grow your list organically and you keep your list nurtured and engaged, you're not much of a challenge getting into the inbox. You know, if you're spamming people, buying subscribers, or, you know, you're spamming people with emails, 2-3 emails a day. Your emails are starting to flow into the spam folder.
And what do you find is like the best way for people to grow their list? Is it, you know, doing Facebook ads and getting people to opt into a contest? Is it, you know, where do you see how to grow a list? Like, some people might not know how to do it. And what's your top three ways to do it? one.
Yeah. So you definitely want to be taking advantage of your web traffic. So mm-hmm. anyone who visits your store, you know, very few people who visit your store are going to make a purchase the first time. So mm-hmm. you kind of want to capture those people to remarket to them later. And, you know, you can use Facebook Pixel, mm-hmm. Google Analytics, remarketing platforms like that. But you mm-hmm. also be capturing their email address. So mm-hmm. pop up and, you know, pop-ups are getting very fancy these days. You can have exit intent ones. So don't show someone goes to exit your page and, you know, get people to leave their email address there. You definitely want to be offering something of value with the pop-up, whether mm-hmm. the discount code or, you know, depending on your store, like if you're selling plants, for instance, you might be, you know, sign up to our email list and get our ebook on, you know, how to grow plants, for instance. Obviously, I don't know much about plants, but offer something of value, like give some incentive for people to sign up to your email list.
Right. So some sort of ethical bribe, I guess, right?
Yeah. Right. People can be hesitant just to hand over the email address.
Right.
And it's, you just need something like that final push.
Right. To get them over that hump. So with today's multi-browsers, from tablets to desktops to laptops to mobile, how important is it to design those email looks?
Yeah, so mobile responsiveness is something you definitely want in your emails. Most people are opening their emails on mobile devices now, so their phones and tablets. And, you know, if they can't read your email properly, you know, you've lost an opportunity right there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, most email marketing platforms, definitely Smart Mail, you know, all our emails are mobile responsive, so they'll, you know, render properly on any mobile device. But, you definitely want to be designing with mobile in mind.
Right. And should you send yourself like the emails just to look on what it looks like on mobile, and then you have to tweak the design, kind of do that? Or does your platform allow you to look in what it's going to look like on all the different sorts of phones and things like that?
Yeah, so our platform definitely gives you a preview of how the email is going to look on desktop and mobile. But it's definitely a good idea to send yourself a copy of the email first, and open it on your desktop, on your laptop, or and on your phone as well.
Okay.
Sometimes there'll be, you know, a line of text you just want, you know, appearing a little bit better, or sometimes you think that left aligned text looked great, but on mobile it would look horrible and you want center aligned now. But and it doesn't take much time to do that.
Okay, cool. Yeah. What are your thoughts on messenger marketing versus email marketing?
Yeah, so I mean, you definitely, any e-commerce business, you know, as great as email is, you can't just rely on it solely. So you need to be, you know, using social media marketing, you know, messenger marketing definitely as well. You want to be targeting people across multiple platforms and multiple channels. So, you know, even if someone does sign up to your email list, you know, we all know that how many emails we have in our inboxes and we don't read every single one of them. Right. So, you know, you definitely can't just rely on email marketing.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That's what I think. It's, you never know where your customer is at or your buyer is at. So I guess you have to reach them on different platforms. You know, what would you say is the number one thing everyone should be doing with their email?
So many things everyone should be doing. That's a hard question. You really need to get started. And, you know, if you've only got like 10 subscribers on your list, setting up automations might, like, you know, advanced segmentation and email flows is maybe something to look at down the track. But, you know, you just have to get started and, you know, based on what you're selling and what kind of business and where your business is at. Setting up those automations definitely makes sense. Mm-hmm. That'll reduce your workload dramatically and, you know, still give you all the benefits of email.
Right. And you know, what do you see as like that number one trend that's going on right now with emails today?
It's another challenging question. Number one trend, product recommendations. That's something that people are really getting on board with at the moment. So you know, again, Amazon is kind of the king of email marketing and of product recommendations. And that's one of the big, was one of the big driving factors behind how Lay got so big. And like with Smart Email now, those product recommendations and machine learning to generate the recommendations are something that any e-commerce store can access now. So you need, you know, your own machine learning stack to, you know, utilize them. It's pretty accessible now.
That's pretty awesome. And then, like, in terms of, like, emails that you've seen that you've liked that were really like, wow, they're doing it right, is there, like, two or three brands that you really like?
There's a few, a couple of brands that come to mind, like Dollar Shave Club. They do a very good job of, you know, reorder emails or replenishment emails. So once, you know, it's time to make another order, you'll get an email in your inbox and to, like a reminder. And they, you know, very well designed emails and they use product recommendations too. So,
Cool. You know, where do you see email in the next 12 to 24 months? You know, if you had a crystal ball and you could see it.
Next year, 2 years, you know, Gmail is coming up with a lot of new interesting features and a lot more dynamic content in emails as well. So emails will no longer just be like this static, you know, message you get in your inbox. You'll be able to have more interactions with them. Potentially for e-commerce, you might even be able to, in the next few years, purchase products within emails themselves without having to go to getting people to make that transition from the email to your store. So, you know, you can lose a lot of people during that transition. So definitely be something interested to see.
Have you seen that working on anything yet? Or is it just you see it, you hear about it, it's coming?
I'm not aware of anyone that does that yet. Yeah. It's kind of the direction email is going at this stage.
Right. So kind of that social commerce right there, kind of get them while they're in that I guess, on that platform and not having to take them off where you can lose those people.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Awesome. Well, that is huge insights on email and it's awesome. So tell us a little bit about Smart Mail and how the type of service it offers, the types of clients you work with, things like that. For our audience.
So Smart Mail is a email marketing app that we plug into Shopify, WooCommerce, BigCommerce, and Nito. So all the big e-com platforms. And we kind of like to brand it as Smart Mail is the easiest way to send your customers the products they're most likely to buy. So, you know, we are dedicated completely to e-commerce email marketing. We don't do any email marketing for any other use cases. So everything we've built is kind of, you know, with e-commerce and email marketing in mind. So obviously the big name in email marketing is MailChimp. We have a lot more e-com capabilities than MailChimp. You probably heard that MailChimp has ended their integration with Shopify in the past months. So, yes. We're definitely committed to the Shopify platform, and you know, it's just helping stores get more from their email marketing.
But they ended that relationship for what reason? Was it that they couldn't, that they weren't making money? I wasn't sure what that whole relationship ended with, but
I mean, they had a very public falling out. There were some ostensive reasons about data sharing,
right,
and who really owns the customers.
Right.
There are obviously some other reasons that's probably not my place to get into, but
right.
Yeah, I mean, like, we are completely happy with, you know, the data sharing, you know,
right.
We're completely happy to sync our data with Shopify, and we think that the more integrated the apps are with the Shopify platform, the better user experience merchants have using
sure.
apps as well. So it's yeah. definitely something we think is a benefit yeah. to merchants as well.
Sure. Awesome. Awesome. So if people want to get started with you guys, like, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah. So, I mean, we are on the Shopify App Store. We're on the WooCommerce plugin directory, and, you know, so you can install our app that way, or you can just head to our website, smartermail.com, and start a 14-day free trial. No credit card needed. You have access to all the features, and you can start sending emails straight away, and okay. you know, absolutely risk-free, and you can see whether it's the, you know, whether you'd want to continue with the platform or not.
Sure. Cool. And so if people want to get a hold of you, Aaron, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah. So I'll actually just bring up a couple of slides at the moment.
Okay.
I've just got a special offer for your viewers as well.
Okay. So awesome. We like that.
I think my screen is sharing now.
Yeah, it is sharing.
Yeah. Yep. Cool. So if you want to get in touch, you know, just, it's going away now. Yeah.
There is.
Just support at smartmail.com, or you can just head to the website, smartmail.com, and there's a little blue chat button in the bottom okay. right of the corner. And you can just send a message there. And, okay. you know, our support is pretty good, so we'll get back to it as soon as we can. Okay. And if you do want to check us out, we have a special Jumper 75 coupon code at the moment where we'll give you up to 75 credits back, dollars back on credit on your first month. And we'll also migrate any of your current existing email marketing from another platform. So if you're using MailChimp and, you know, the end of the integration with Shopify has kind of disrupted your email marketing, you can jump on there, we'll migrate all your subscribers and your automations and your designs over for free. And we'll also give you a one-to-one demo of our app.
Wow. Okay, guys. So take up this offer, because this is a pretty powerful platform. You know, MailChimp is, I mean, it's everybody uses it, but I wouldn't say it's a great platform. I mean, you know, a lot of people use it. So there's definitely better platforms out there, and this is definitely one of them on that. I do want to say, Aaron, thank you so much for coming on. Taking time out of your day early in the morning. I know you got a lot of stuff going on over there. But again, thank you so much for your time. I definitely would like to have you come back on and share with our audience again some other kinds of things that we're talking about, but and deeper dive into some of the things that we didn't really go into as much, like, you know, maybe product recommendation emails and things like that. And
yeah.
I mean, we covered it, but not a deep dive. But anyway, thanks so much again for your time, and best of having a great day.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for having me on.